Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. That content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Guys, by now you've heard me talk about Collars & Co., makers of the dress collar polo. They've already sold over a million of these amazing shirts. Well, Collars & Co. just came out with the new Maverick Performance Blazer. This blazer is sharp and wrinkle resistant, so you can travel anywhere with it. Just throw it in your bag and it will remain wrinkle free. It even comes with security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So visit collarsandco.com and use code TIKI for 20% off at collarsandco.com.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's my game right here. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. I taste it. It's time for you to be legendary right here, boy.
This is First and Pod.
They could not run the ball to save their lives in this game.
Your favorite team through a national lens.
The beauty of this podcast is that we don't gloss over anything. We do every team in every game.
Instant reaction to all the big games all season long.
The NFL never seems to let us down when we need a banger.
Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Filippone, with 8-time Pro Bowl corner and 3-time first-team NFL All-Pro.
Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it.
Patrick Peterson.
Understood. So we'll see if the Steelers can figure it out on the defensive end at some point, because you can't continue to give up 30-plus and put Aaron Rodgers and the offense in that kind of.
That's support. Another thing, too. Aaron Rodgers, he can't continue to get peeled up off the turf.
Yeah, you said that last week. You said that last week for sure. Let's go to the Patriots and the Dolphins in an AFC East matchup. One historically that Miami, tends to dominate down there in Miami when the Patriots go to Florida. But who gets the game ball this time for New England going into Miami, getting that bugaboo off, and getting a win against the Dolphins?
I'm going to give it to Antonio Gibson.
Because
he saved their bacon. Washington takes a punt. I mean, it was just an incredible punt return. It was something out of Pat's highlight film. His return for a touchdown to give Miami a lead. They're all celebrating down there, and then he takes the kickoff 90 yards. And that was the first time you had a punt return for a touchdown and a kickoff return for a touchdown in back-to-back plays since 1992, when the two guys who did it back then were Desmond Howard and Deion Sanders.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a special teams game. It can happen. New England was about to kill its special teams because their kicker missed the first two extra points of the game after touchdown. So it was 12-0 instead of 14-0. He did make a long 50-plus yarder later, but Antonio Gibson stealing the momentum right back, I thought, was the difference in this game, Pat.
100%. Yeah, Antonio Gibson definitely gets the game ball. Like you said, took the momentum right, took the air out of the stadium literally the next play. And for him, the New England Patriots needed every bit of his 171 yards, because Drake May didn't have a bad game. He didn't have a good game. He just had, like, in the middle of the road game. You know, Drake went 19 of 23, 230 yards, 2 touchdowns, which, like I said, which is solid. Got sacked 3 times. That's winning football, but they needed those kick returns to put themselves in position to be able to put points on the board. So Antonio Gibson, congratulations. You by far received the game ball from First and Pod.
The also heralded First and Pod game ball, by the way. This is what these players play for week in and week out, is to be mentioned on this podcast. So congratulations to Antonio Gibson. He's the first one. My favorite part of the Antonio Gibson kick return, Mike Vrabel on the sideline going stride.
He's running after
stride first stride with his kick return. I said, get that man some pads, man. He can still be on the field. That was incredible. We go to the Cardinals and Panthers because P2, I got to hear from you, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Your Cardinals are 2-0.
They are 2-0
after beating the Panthers. How are we feeling after a 2-0 start in the desert, Pat?
Listen, I'm feeling real good, but I was about to have a heart attack with the minute left in that game. Man, the game started out so poetic. You know, two turnovers to start the game. We capitalized off both of those turnovers going to the halftime. We scored right before halftime, which was a costly mistake by the Carolina Panthers, knowing that the Cardinals got to go for the end zone, 4th and goal, 9 seconds left with 0 timeouts.
Yep.
That was just a bonehead decision by them. Protect the end zone. Like, that's the only place that they can go to right now. So move on to the second half. Game was kind of stagnant into the fourth quarter. Kyler Murray makes a big play. Big play 13. It was 13 minutes and 19 seconds left in the game. Two plays later, that's when the momentum left us. Kyler Murray, costly turnover in the red zone. Costly turnover in the red zone. That's when the Carolina Panthers started to fight themselves back in the game. They scored right before 2 minutes and got this 1% chance onside kick to make the game that much more interesting. And then Bryce Young came back to reality going 0-for-6 in that final drive. So my biggest takeaway is the Cardinals have to find better ways to finish games out, because this almost happened to them against the New Orleans Saints last week. I know that they're 2-0 and they got two wins against two bad teams. They're going to San Fran next week. You cannot have these fourth quarter performances if you want to beat the San Francisco 49ers. So great start to the game. We had a costly turnover by Kyler Murray, which I thought, you know, that we was going to kind of get that out of our system. But they have to find a way to close these games out better if they want to be a contender in the NFC West.
I mean, it's all set up for them now. You know, they're going to play San Francisco without Purdy, it looks like. Okay, so there's a chance to get to 3-0. And then they're going to host, I think, Seattle on a short week.
Thursday night, I believe.
So, yeah. I mean, they could be 4-0. Well, we've seen them get off to great starts before, so this would not be the first time. It's all about how they finish seasons and not start seasons. But, I mean, look, right now it doesn't look like Chicago is going to be a playoff team. J.J. McCarthy struggled. They were a borderline playoff team. Washington, who knows? I mean, they only beat the Giants 21-6. It wasn't like their offense so far through two games has looked as dynamic as last year. And if San Francisco, if Purdy's out for a while, there's another team. I mean, there really is no excuse for the Cardinals to not make the playoffs this season. There really is.
It really isn't. But it's just like how they started the game. It's just how their season goes. They start off on fire, and when the fourth quarter comes around, they have to find a way to close games out, man. They just close games out and the season. And how they're going to be able to close the season out better is by closing the dang on games out better.
It's a very poetic episode from Patrick Peterson. Very, very well put there about how the Cardinals come out in the fourth quarter. But for our 2-0 start, and if it goes the way you guys said, they have a chance to go 4-0 with two division wins under their belt in the first quarter of the season. That would be huge. Let's go to their NFC West mates, 49ers, as they play the Saints. Because, Pony, we heard from P2 about the Cardinals. Now it's your turn, Mister. Do you owe Mac Jones an apology? Because by the way you were speaking about him last week, you would have thought Mac Jones stole Pony's Xbox when they were kids. So, does Pony owe Mac Jones an apology after his performance against the Saints? Because Mac Jones balled out.
Yeah, but it's kind of like one of those ones that you're forced to do. Like, it's not like I'm trying to make up with my wife and getting her flowers or chocolates or anything like that, or writing a letter to her. Yeah, I thought he was going to lose this game. And he made a couple of critical plays to win it. That touchdown pass to McCaffrey with 7 seconds left in the first half. He completed a third and long bomb to Juwan Jennings up the seam for a touchdown that really drove the stake through the heart of the Saints. He threw, let's see here. I thought I had the numbers. He threw for over 200 yards in this game with a couple touchdowns. So I didn't think he'd do that. And it's the Saints. Spencer Rattler's never won a game in his career, but it was on the road in a loud stadium. And to use the sophomoric juvenile points that Pat just made, he didn't crap himself in this game. And I thought he might. I thought he would, actually. So, yeah, I do owe Mac Jones an apology, but I'm not apologizing to the point where I believe he's going to be the answer to the 49ers' prayers, because I still don't think that. He was just the better quarterback for a Sunday.
Hey, so I have a question for you, Pony. Do you think is more of Kyle Shanahan's system? Because you remember what Kyle said. He can play with any quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I thought he made good throws. I mean, I thought his decision making was actually pretty good in this game.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's system gets guys open, I guess, and that makes a quarterback's job a lot easier. So if he plays on schedule, and we saw Mac Jones do that his rookie year, you know, you can have success. Which I just feel my argument against Mac Jones was I just felt there was so much scar tissue from how things ended in New England. And then last year he got hit a lot and didn't play well. I just didn't think he had it in him anymore to dial up a performance like this. So yeah, I would say probably 50-50, 50% the system and 50% him in this game.
I do want to give Mac Jones credit, but I think if you look at the quarterbacks that have succeeded in Kyle Shanahan's offense, they just listen. Right, Kyle, you said it. Kyle Shanahan's offense will scheme people open. And if you listen as a quarterback, throw it here at this time, you will hit a receiver. The only quarterback we've seen to go off script, Trey Lance, did not succeed. Just throw it here at this time, you will have a completion, sir. I promise you. We go to the Browns and the Ravens. Pat, this was your best bet last week.
Come on, Pat.
That the Browns were going to shock a lot of people.
He's trying to warn you, man. And what are you doing,
the Ravens here? Pat had a hunch, and I was not going to go against a hunch from Pat Peterson. But what happened? How did Cleveland let you down, Pat?
So let's make this clear. The only reason this was my best bet, because they was getting 12 points. Like, my goodness. It's almost. I'm quite sure that I'm the only one in America that did not take the Cleveland Browns. I'm almost positive I'm not the only one in America that took the Cleveland Browns, right? And the Cleveland Browns, their defense played well enough. They played well, especially in the first half. They played well enough. You know, they had the Baltimore Ravens offense reeling, kept Derrick Henry under wraps, you know, had the big play, held the big plays down to a minimum. It just they couldn't get nothing out of their offense. And the offense had the Cleveland Browns, they had too many costly turnovers. And I believe it, in this game, it just came down to field position. And the Baltimore Ravens want the field position, and the Cleveland Browns didn't have enough on offense to be able to put the ball in the end zone and put points on the scoreboard. But it's no way that I thought that the Cleveland Browns is going to lose. What was the score? 41-17? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just didn't see that happening. I thought it would be a low-scoring game, maybe like a 24-13, somewhere like that, but not 41-17. So I thought the Baltimore Ravens on offense, they did well enough to be able to put up the points that they did. Lamar Jackson had a very, very efficient game. Didn't have a big game, but an efficient game, going 19-29, 225 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's one thing as well about Lamar Jackson, man. The last couple of years, man, he's becoming more efficient as a passer. You know, his interception number is down. His touchdown number is way up. His passer rating, I believe I saw a stat. They said right now he has the highest passing rating out of all quarterbacks in the history of the game, playing up until, I believe, minimum playing 90 games or something like that. So, like, all those questions about how he was going to be as a passer and how he was going to evolve as a passer, I believe all those answers have been answered. But I did not see the Cleveland Browns getting whipped up like this, because I was going to lean on their defense. And plus, Joe Flacco was going back home for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Supporting cast for Baltimore receiver, Tez Walker caught 2 touchdowns. Wallace caught 1. So it wasn't just the Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews show for Lamar here. I'm not going to belabor the point here with your pick. I do want to just throw in this Adam Schefter report on Shedeur Sanders, that he did not want to go to Baltimore. He refused. He told the Ravens not to draft him because he didn't want to be Lamar Jackson's backup. I just think that's a mistake, man. I'm hoping that's not true. We haven't heard no comment from Deion. Sanders didn't talk after the game. Why would he after his team got blown out? But to me, we've seen guys like Aaron Rodgers back up Brett Favre. Jordan Love had to sit. Alex.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Smith sat, Alex Smith mentored Patrick Mahomes. He's talked so much about how vital that was in his career, and I get it. A lot of those situations were old quarterback to young one. This is a guy that's in the prime of his career. But once you get to the middle of the draft, why wouldn't you want to go learn from a guy like this to help jumpstart your NFL career? I just think that's a short-sighted move by the Sanders camp, if that's true, Pat.
Yeah, I hope that's not true either. I mean, but you said Adam Scheffler tweeted
Scheffler
this?
Scheffler came out and said it. Yeah, no one's denied it either.
I finna say, yeah, if Shefty said it, ooh, it might be true then.
Big talking point yesterday. Alex Smith, actually one of the quarterbacks that you cited, Pony, said that exact same thing. He thought it was a very short-sighted move to not, you know, get the tutelage under Lamar Jackson, because people get hurt, even in the Ravens and other places. You show your worth, you know, another team could come calling. You never know. All right, gentlemen, the Buccaneers hat is on, which means it is time to preview the Buccaneers matchup tonight. They go into Houston and take on the Texans. But the Texans are a favorite at home, 2.5-point favorite via the FanDuel Sportsbook. This is our betting segment brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Don't let the beanie persuade you, gentlemen. Who are you taking tonight in the Bucs-Texans matchup, 2.5-point favorite as Houston is at home?
I'm taking the Bucs. I'm going to take the Bucs. I know they don't have their Godwin back just yet, but I think I love the competitor edge that Baker Mayfield brings to that offense. No matter who's in the lineup, he's going to make his guys rise their level of play. So I'm not worried about that. I'm just still concerned about the Houston offensive line, if they're going to still be able to protect CJ Stroud, because we know Tampa Bay got some guys that can get after the quarterback. You know what I mean? So if they're not going to be able to protect CJ Stroud, I think it's going to be another long game for the Texans. So I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this game, because I like what their defense is going to be able to provide. And I like just the moxie of Baker Mayfield, although he don't have his top weapon trees. One of his top weapon trees in his arsenal going into this game. So I'm going Tampa Bay to win on defense.
I'm taking Houston. We'll go heads up here. I like the Texans in this game. This is not going to be a shootout like it was 2 years ago, an all-time classic between these two guys down in Houston. I think that the Buccaneers have their own protection problems in this game. Tristan Wirfs is still out. You've got Hunter and Anderson off the edge for Houston. We saw what they were able to do to the Rams. On the road, they held the Rams to only 14 points. I anticipate that they will also do the same to this Bucs offense, if not better. Tampa Bay could not run the ball against Atlanta's defense. I think they'll have similar issues in this game. So lower scoring. I like both quarterbacks. I like Baker Mayfield a little bit more than CJ Stroud, but given his offensive line issues, I think he'll turn the ball over four times in this game.
Totally.
See Baker Mayfield four turnovers with fumbles and interceptions, and that's going to be the difference for the Texans in a win.
Hmm.
Pat, I'm going to get you a Bucks beanie. Pony, I rebuke the voodoo. I rebuke the voodoo that Pony just put over Baker because it, you know, when it rains, it pours for Baker Mayfield. So hopefully we don't see that.
That it does. That's a very true statement.
We will see. That was our betting segment brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. The last matchup that we have to recap from week two was the Chargers and the Ravens. So I'm sorry. We have
Chargers-Raiders.
Chargers-Raiders, I'm sorry. Will Justin Herbert light up the Raiders like he lit up KC?
No. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Let's hear why.
Just because I believe the confidence now what Justin Herbert is playing with, I believe they have the confidence in him just to call the games. I believe the handcuffs are off now, going to see how they play, watching how they play against the Kansas City Chiefs on Friday night. This guy, we all thought that he was going to come out here and run the football, you know, and try to control the game with the running game. Total opposite. The way they came out and threw the football against the Chiefs and the confidence that they had within Justin Herbert, that goes to show me that he has the keys to the car now, officially, fully. And it's a full loaded BMW with the big screen TV in the back that come down and got the movie theater TV.
Yeah, okay.
He's back there chilling now just because I saw the growth. I saw the understanding of the offense. I saw the confidence he had throwing the ball to all of his receivers, just not just not Keenan Allen. He was finding everybody was getting involved in the game. And I'm not really – I mean, the Raiders' defense have improved, but the Chiefs' defense is better than the Raiders. So I don't see why he cannot match that performance that he had Friday night. And they're going to be the game's in Vegas, right?
Yep.
On the road again. So he's in familiar territory again. And he got Jim Harbaugh as his head coach. So he's going to fire him up and make sure that he's going to continue playing with that confidence. This reminds me of when Jim Harbaugh was with the 49ers, when he had Alex Smith, you know, they had their growing pains, this, that, and the other. They ran the ball a lot. But then the following year, they threw the ball a little bit more than what they did the previous year. So this is definitely a recipe that Jim Harbaugh is used to, and that he's taking that same recipe that he had when he had a success pretender in San Francisco Bay Area.
I'm going to take Vegas, and I do not think Herbert's going to look like the MVP.
This is what I want my bet to be on right here, this game.
Okay. You want a double or nothing here?
Double or nothing.
All right.
Yep, double or nothing.
Chip Kelly, first game, excellent. 389 total yards. We saw Geno Smith go for more than 350 in the air. Brock Bowers is going to play in this game. That's huge. You know, the Chiefs are not a team that can run the ball. We saw that again against Philadelphia. Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco are just not getting it done behind that line. Ashton Jeanty in this line, I think, is a tougher matchup for the Chargers. So it's crazy that I say this, but the right now the Raiders present more problems for an opposing defense than the Kansas City Chiefs do, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And they're coached by Andy Reid and quarterback by Patrick Mahomes, but it's just currently the reality of things. So we did see Mahomes make some play single-handedly in that Chargers game. And I think Geno Smith's going to get more help. And the Raiders are going to be all alone atop the AFC West standings after Monday night at 2-0, Denver 1-1, KC 0-2. This will drop the Chargers to 1-1. And there will be legit hope that the Vegas Raiders are for real this year.
One more thing, Pony. Do you remember the last time that these two coaches was in the same division?
Yeah, Seattle and San Fran. Yep.
What happened? always going back and forth, and those two teams end up being rivals and end up being an NFC championship every other year. And that's why I told you when they hired Pete Carroll that they're going to challenge the Kansas City Chiefs, both of those coaches, because just the pedigree that they have, their coaching style, the players that they're able to acquire, like these guys love football. Now these teams just don't have startup head coaches. They got head coaches that got resumes, pedigree, and that's what's going to challenge the Kansas City Chiefs moving forward.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.